I'd invite you to take your Bible, if you would, this morning and turn with me for our continuing study in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9 is where our story picks up today. And as a little refresher, I'd like to just draw your attention to the story that precedes verse 27. You may recall the last time we were together, I shared with you the story of a young ruler whose name was Jairus. And Jairus had a little daughter that was ill, and Jairus made his way personally. Even though he could have sent a servant, he came personally to meet Jesus, and then he told Jesus what he wanted and how to heal his daughter. You'll recall that. So much like so many of us, giving orders to God, come, lay your hands on her, heal her, do as I command. It's so interesting. Things haven't changed over 2,000 years. We still ask God to fix it in our lives as well, and we tell Him how we want it done. But it's interesting as the story comes to its fruition, and you remember, it's a fascinating story. If you didn't have the privilege of hearing it, you need to get the tape and listen to it again. But as Jairus comes to the end of his rope, so to speak, so anxious to just drag Jesus from the multitude that are pressing him and come to my house and do what I've asked, a servant comes and says, "Don't bother the master, your daughter is dead." And then we begin to understand as the story unfolds, we begin to understand that when Jesus does things, he does it differently than we do. When Jesus answers prayers, he oftentimes answers them differently than what we ask him to. And so it was in this case of this story, the last time we were together, it was that Jesus was not interested in really healing Jairus' daughter at all. He wasn't wanting a healing, he was wanting a resurrection. You remember that? Yeah. And so he wanted to give Jairus an opportunity to develop faith, to trust Jesus, because Jesus always knows what's best, believe it or not. And sometimes it does take faith on our part to trust him when he seems to be so slow in answering our prayers. Would you pray with me right now? Father, as we get into today's study, I pray that you'll open our eyes that we might see and unstop our ears that for a moment we might hear, and then change our lives that we might become the men and women and boys and girls you would have us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 27, our story for today. And when Jesus departed from there, from Jairus' house, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on us." Right away, we discover something about the blind men. They saw something that those who had eyes didn't see. Son of David, how did they know that this man, this carpenter's son, how did they know that Jesus of Nazareth was Messiah? They had never seen him with their eyes. They had never touched him with their hands. They had heard him with their ears, and they perceived that this was Messiah, and thus they called him Son of David. Classic. How was it that the Jews, who were looking for Messiah, who had eyes to see and ears to hear, could not see and could not hear, but the blind could see? Beloved, do we see what they saw? Jesus is still among us today through the power of His Holy Spirit, still changing lives. And when we see the lives that are changed, we should know that God still lives in Israel. There is no greater miracle than to see a life changed from vile corruption to holiness and decent living. Amen. And so these two blind men follow him, crying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus is a merciful God, And certainly he responds. It must have been somewhere, the commentators tell us, in the fall of around 29 AD. Rather important that we remember that, because Jesus was about in the midway of his ministry. This was his second Galilean tour that he was taking. And he still had another year and a half or so to go before he yielded up his life as an atonement for man's sins. He didn't want to have that cut short because his time had not yet come. And Jesus always does things on time. Amen. The book of Revelation says, I will come again and will not tarry. He has a time, and he will come on time. We think he's been tarrying. Lord, it's been 161 years since you walked into that most holy compartment, October 22, 1844. Lord, you're tarrying, but Jesus knows no haste and no delay. He will come again on time. And when that time does come, beloved, there will be other prayers ascending then. Oh, Lord, not now. Please wait. Isn't it interesting? The human heart, never satisfied. Here are the two blind men. The fall of 29 AD. Jesus still has another year and a half of ministry. They come to him and ask for mercy. They identify him and praise him and honor him and give him glory. Verse 28 says, and when he had come into the house, a specific house. The article would indicate that it was a home that he obviously had been in before. The house. Perhaps it was Peter's home. We're not exactly sure, but it was a specific home that he entered. He felt at home there, and these two blind men entered with him. And then Jesus turns to them and says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Now, come on. Why do you suppose they were asking? So he would mock them? No, they asked because they believed. You've been there. You're there today. Why did you come to church? Because you believe that God had a blessing in store just for you. That's why you're here. Because you demonstrated faith to believe. And you acted on that faith, and you're here today. Praise God for that. Why is it that God so oftentimes tests our faith, tries our patience, it seems, at times? If we believe, I can almost hear them say, Lord, that's why we're here. That's why we've come to church too, and sometimes we leave. And sometimes we feel, God, I wasn't blessed like I wanted to be blessed, and I even went because I knew you would bless me. Sometimes blessings don't come right away. Have you noticed that? Sometimes they come later on in the week. And we'll find some stories here in the weeks ahead that's exactly the way Jesus sometimes works. He doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want them at the moment of request. But in this case, he does. He grants them according to their faith. And they say, yes, Lord, we do believe that you're able to do this. In verse 29, it says, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Trachoma was an infectious disease that affected the cornea of the eye. Oftentimes, the eye would become unclear and overcast and white and rough, even on the exterior of the eyeball itself, I understand. And scars would oftentimes develop in the later stages of this disease, which was very common then, and I understand it is still common to some degree in the Middle East. Blindness was in the eyes of more than those who were looking for Messiah. Blindness oftentimes came to the normal, common, wayfaring stranger of the streets of Galilee. And these two men knew what it was like to walk through life with a stick or with a cane, tapping their way along, trying to find their way. These men understood what it was like to be cast away, cast aside from the normal people who didn't have these diseases. They felt that loneliness that sometimes creeps over some of us like a cold mist. And sometimes we too shudder when we find ourselves alone in this world and nobody seems to care and nobody wants to touch us. But I love what it says here. Jesus touched them. Do you notice? Oh, what must have that meant to those men that day to have been touched by the Master's hand? The Son of David, the King who would one day sit on his throne, has touched the blind and made them see. Their eyes were open, verse 30 says, and Jesus then sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. What kind of a God is he, Jerry? I read this and I say, this is unreal. You have just healed two blind men who now can see, who no longer need to tap their way through life, but they can run now. They can see without stumbling and falling. They don't have to ask for directions anymore. They can run home now, and you're saying, see that I don't tell anyone? Do you want us to leave with our sticks again and keep our eyes closed? And yet it's interesting because the word that Jesus uses here, this word sternly in verse 30, is only used three times in the Gospels. Another time Jesus had healed a leper and told him, don't broadcast this, but go directly to the priests and offer, you recall, offer what Moses told you to offer. But don't tell anybody on the way. Sure. This man had been seen as unclean. But on his way, he's not to tell anybody, I've been made whole, I'm clean again. I suppose that wouldn't be a big deal if lepers were cleaned every day and cleansed every day and healed every day. But there hadn't been a leprosy case that had been healed in how many years? Just a review of about a year ago. 800 years. Now that's quite a while. Nobody had seen a leper healed in 800 years. And now Jesus has the audacity to say, don't tell anybody. No, let's not tell anyone this. Can you keep a leper quiet? Can you keep the people quiet because they saw him healed? And now Jesus does the same thing to these two blind men, sternly warning them, see that no one knows it. So they go home and they jump the fence and they rush up to the front door and, honey, I'm home! But I'm still blind. Boy, it'd be hard to even keep your voice, you know, under control. Obviously, it didn't work. Verse 31 says, when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Amen. Now, again, Jesus did have it in mind that he didn't really want them spreading it because it agitated certain people who didn't have the gift of healing. You know, the leaders of the church that just piously went about their ceremonial services week after week, ripping the people off, but making the people think that somehow they had the power, they had the authority, they had everything, but in reality they had nothing. And now the carpenter comes and he heals the sick and the lame and the halt. He heals leprosy and he opens blind eyes that people might see. And he says, please keep it quiet because I have another year and a half. And I don't want half to die before my time. So he was serious, and yet how in the world do you keep something like that quiet? Verse 32, and then it says, they went out, the two blind went out, and then it uses a phrase, Matthew uses a phrase, behold, they brought him. Now this they is someone totally different than the two blind men, because they have gone out, all right? And as they've left this special house, evidently they, meaning some other individuals, bring to Jesus a man who's mute and demon-possessed. This man cannot speak, but it could be that he really couldn't hear. It may have been that he was deaf and thus he couldn't speak, because individuals, I understand, who are deaf from birth never learn the art of speaking because they can't hear the sounds that their mouth would make anyway, and so they have a guttural sound. So he could have been deaf, and thus he wasn't able to speak. But Jesus came to set the captives free, to give sight to blind eyes, and to give ears the ability to understand and to hear. And there was a reason for that. It wasn't just so men and women could see and so that young boys could hear. That wasn't why Jesus healed. Jesus took these extreme cases, including leprosy. He took those unique cases upon himself and healed them and did marvelous wonders before the eyes of others so that they might believe that if he could heal with a touch, then he could also change men's lives. He could also forgive sin, and he could give peace to the inner soul. The most important thing that Jesus came to do, beloved, is to set the captives free from demonic harassment. In other words, to set the souls of men free from sin and the bondage of hatred and bitterness and all the deceit and the fraud and the evil that exists naturally within the human heart. God wants to set us free so that we might be filled with His Spirit and have peace and love and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit, whether we're physically blind or deaf. It doesn't matter as long as we're free in Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, what man often wants is the physical and not the spiritual. And so they clamored, and they climbed over one another, as it were, to get to him, to touch the robe that he wore, to have his shadow perhaps pass by them, or just a word spoken in their behalf. What they wanted, beloved, was physical healing, not the spiritual cleansing of the soul. And Jesus came to demonstrate that he has the power of both. But the most important is he wants to heal the sin-sick soul. What kind of healing today, beloved, are you in search of? Are you in search of some physical healing from God? Is that the thing that dominates your mind and your life and your will and your prayers today? Or are you praying, God, I know you heal the people in the Gospels. I know by faith I'm coming to the great God who heals mankind. I know if you can do that, you can certainly change my attitude. You can certainly change my heart, and you can give me peace, and you can set me free from the bondage of the sin that so easily besets me. Beloved, those are the prayers God delights to answer. If we will come to Him with those prayers, He will never turn us away. In fact, He says, if you will confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, beloved, Jesus, again, please understand what I'm saying. Jesus took some of the worst cases known to man to prove a simple point, that if I can heal a leper, if I can raise a man to life again, then I can forgive your sin. For there is no sin that man could commit that Jesus couldn't forgive easily. If he can heal the lepers and raise the dead, he can certainly forgive your sin by putting his blood over the top. Beloved, that should give you and me hope today. Jesus came to set us free from the guilt, the shame, the sin, the remorse, that so many of us carry. When Jesus says, cast your burden on Him, for He careth for you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus forgives. Jesus loves. Jesus has compassion, and He's full of mercy, and He's longing to forgive any man, any woman of anything if we'll only be willing to come and confess our sins and ask Him to forgive us. And so in verse 33, we find when the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. One other little note that I found interesting when I think about it here is this individual who was mute or perhaps deaf and had this demonic force that was harassing him continually. It sort of tells me that sometimes we need other people to intercede for us. Did you catch that? When the blind men were gone, they brought another to Jesus. Who were the they? It doesn't say. Just they. Perhaps it was a couple of friends. Perhaps it was some relatives. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It just says they brought him to Jesus. And I don't want us to miss this point either, beloved, because sometimes it's your prayers in behalf of another person who is so frustrated and so beat down by the wickedness of this world in which we all live, or perhaps harassed by demonic forces from the underworld, that they cannot even pray for themselves. And you intercede in their behalf, granting God, hear me now, granting God an opportunity to do for them that which He could not do had you not asked. You see, there are legal rights that Christ works by law. God doesn't violate the laws that He granted to man. God doesn't work by force. Satan does. God only knocks at the door. He never opens it without an invitation. Have you noticed that? And beloved, when men and women are harassed by Satan, there are moments in their life, days and weeks and months and perhaps years in their life, when they have no courage to open the door and let Jesus in. And thus they don't ask and they don't invite. But someone else might bring them to Jesus in prayer. Then what happens, Gabe? Oh, Jesus sitting on that great white throne. I picture Him sort of looking down on planet Earth, waiting for some prayer to come up in behalf of a friend. Ah, here comes one now. Here comes one. And Jesus sends mighty angels that excel in strength, that stand at the right hand of God, waiting His command to come to the aid of those praying ones. Go down there now, Jesus says. And the angel comes down, wafting its mighty wings and scattering the inky blackness of the evil one about that one that is oppressed and discouraged and in despondency. Why? They hadn't asked. No, but somebody else did. Grandma, don't you quit praying for your kids. Grandpa, don't you ever quit praying for your kids. Moms and dads, don't you ever quit praying for your kids. Because it gives God an opportunity to say, who have you brought to be healed today? A friend, a son, a daughter, a granddaughter, a grandson. Oh, and Jesus, same today as He was then, He has mercy on sin-sick souls. And He said, I'm glad you brought them, because I can fix it. I can heal them. I can make them hear again. I can make them see again. I can make them walk again. And I can take away all the hurt and all the pain and all the anxiety and all the depression. We should love Jesus for that. And so, verse 34 says, the Pharisees heard about this and began to rumor about that he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. Had they only understood, he could have even cast out theirs. Interestingly enough, Matthew summarizes in verse 35 what he has been doing in this second journey throughout Galilee. It's not the way we would normally write, but Matthew sort of summarizes in verse 35 everything that Jesus had been doing on this second journey throughout Galilee. And he says, then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Just sort of a little summary. This is what he's been up to on this last Galilean tour. Did you catch it? All the diseases. There is no disease he cannot heal. There is no sickness to which he cannot bring health. Why does he do that? To demonstrate once again, beloved, that there is no sin-sick soul that he cannot lift your burden and give you peace. None. If you will only come to him and ask that you might receive. He'll never turn you away if you will ask. I love that little statement, I've shared it with you before, from Christ Object Lessons. That if we will take but one step toward the Master, he will hasten to enfold us in his arms. Don't you like that? So beloved, God is just sitting on the throne, as it were, looking down to see who's going to take that baby step. Who's going to nudge a friend toward Jesus' kingdom, toward his heavenly throne, and say, if you'll just take one step, oh, God will send his angels there, and he'll send his glory there, and he'll send his presence there, he'll send his spirit there, and he'll wrap you in his arms and say, I'm so glad you came. Yeah, but Lord, look at me. That's why I'm glad you came. Because I can fix it. The next few verses, verses 36 and 37, really is an introduction to chapter 10. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. They were harassed, is what that word means, and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. But there's good news. There is a shepherd, and he knows his sheep. It's just that they don't know they have a shepherd. I want you to know you have one, and he sees you today, and he loves you. He sees them weary and scattered. And then he says in verse 37 to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so today, Jesus would have you be his hands extended to those that are blind today, those that are deaf today, those who are sick today spiritually. God is asking you to be his hands extended. And perhaps you might be they whose prayers will be heard in behalf of a sin-sick soul. You don't have to go downtown and go to the mission to work for Jesus. Perhaps even going into your closet will work just as well. For what you tell your Father in secret, he hears in secret, and he will reward you openly. So, beloved, today, if someone has been put upon your heart that you need to pray for, don't look the other way. Don't try to pawn that off onto someone else as their responsibility. Take that as an opportunity from God as he's putting a burden on your heart, saying, pray for her, pray for him, pray for them, then lift your heart up in prayer and watch the blessings of God come not only upon you, but also upon those for whom you have prayed. Today, beloved, in this very sanctuary are living miracles that have come as a direct result of people who have and continue to pray. I'm so glad that Jesus lives in our church today. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice today. We thank you today. We honor you today. And we are so grateful that you have given each of us the right and the privilege and the honor and even the invitation to come to you just as we are, that we might even perhaps bring a friend in prayer and lift them up to you. Today you've given us, in a simple story, the right to do that. And so, Father, today I pray for all of them, that they might hear your voice and that they might respond to your voice and bring their friends to you in prayer. Today, as we go to our individual homes, Father, I pray that our hearts might be lifted up again and again and again, not just today, but throughout this week, with a new fervent zeal, knowing that we'll never say a prayer in behalf of another person that goes unheard by God. He listens. He hears. He understands, and he's waiting for an opportunity to heal the sin-sick soul. Father, you've given us the evidence of it right here today. And as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I'm wondering if perhaps there's another person here today that would just like to say, Lord, I need that healing the preacher's talking about today. I need it personally. I want you to heal me so that I might begin to focus on others, so that I might see how you can heal them too. If that's your prayer personally, would you raise your hand wherever you are today? God sees your hands, Father. Thank you so much for your family who are praying right now. And give us a vision beyond ourselves this week, that we might be bold for you and reach out and pray for another. And perhaps if we're bold enough, Father, we might even pray for an enemy or one we don't like. And maybe in that prayer you'll work another miracle, and maybe that miracle will be on us, that we might learn to love them as you love them. And you might even change our hearts. And if that be the case, then Father, may we rejoice in that, because that would make us more like you. So bless us today with your continued spirit, with your promises, with your assurance that no matter who we are or what we bring, you will never, never, never turn us away. Thank you, Father, for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2005, all rights reserved. To order additional CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, call our toll-free order line, 1-800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. You may also download our latest catalog or order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now to send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your letters and ongoing financial support are greatly appreciated. This year, 2005, we are celebrating our 30th anniversary, 30 years of faithfully maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra. The speakers associated with this ministry are all on the same page. There is no theological compromise here at ACM. We're helping prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.